Today's reading, Acts chapter 9, verse 20 to 31. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him, but his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord.
As we get into God's word, let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we look at this passage this morning. We pray that your word would speak to us through your spirit and that you would make us more and more like your son. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've all had those experiences in our lives that change and shape the way we interact with others and the world around us. When I think back, I have fond memories of my grandfather, who grew up during the Great Depression. And so he was somebody who never wasted anything. He knew what it was like to not have very much. And so I remember seeing toothpaste tubes at his house cut open so that he could get the very last bit of toothpaste out, and pieces of soap stuck onto the new cake of soap just so they get every last piece of soap used. Another example of an experience that shapes the way we view our world and interact with others was back when I used to be an apprentice mechanic. Back then, as a young apprentice, I used to have all sorts of ideas about how the shop should be run. I'd be frustrated about many of the decisions that my boss would make, right up until the time I became a boss for myself. Once I'd experienced what it was like to be a boss myself, I realized all of a sudden that there was quite a lot of wisdom in the decisions that my boss was making. The experiences we have in life shape who we are and how we interact with others and the world around us. But as formative as these experiences are, nothing is able to change our lives as much as the good news of Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I'm sure most of us are familiar with this verse, and we all know that because of what Christ has done for us, well, we have been created new. We've been changed somehow. But at the same time, we don't always feel changed. Sometimes we're just as tired, just as grumpy as anyone else. Sometimes it's hard to think past our circumstances, whatever we're going through at the time, and to trust God with what is going on in our lives. And sometimes, even though we know that we're supposed to be new creations in Christ Jesus, we just don't feel any different from anyone else. But if our hope, we have the hope of being forgiven by God and having life beyond the grave, then our lives have been radically changed from those who don't know the Lord. Because those who have experienced the saving mercies of God through Jesus have been given a new beginning, a new identity, and a new purpose. And all of this was given to us through Christ. Up until Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul's confidence before God was in his own ability to live up to God's standards, his impeccable service as a Pharisee. In Philippians 3, Saul points out just how many reasons he had to be confident about his ability to follow God's law. It says he was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Saul had spent his life trying to please God by what he did, thinking that he was doing what pleased God. But after Jesus met him where he was at and called him to himself, Saul's life was never the same again. Saw last week that as soon as Ananias laid hands on Saul, something like scales fell from his eyes. And as soon as he was able to see, he was baptized. And Saul was baptized as a sign that his old nature had died with Christ and that he had been raised to new life as a new creation in him. In an instant, Saul's life changed. And he was so excited about what God had done in his life, he couldn't keep this good news to himself. So he began preaching the good news of Jesus in Damascus. Now, it's pretty unusual for a new convert to Christianity to begin preaching the good news as soon as they come to Christ. It's far more common for new believers to spend some time in preparation, learning about the scriptures and grounding their faith in the word before they finally get the opportunity to preach and teach the good news. But as a devout Pharisee, Saul would have known the Old Testament incredibly well. And now that he'd come to Christ, he would have been seeing all sorts of new connections in the scripture that he'd never noticed or understood before. But Saul's preparation for ministry wasn't just his training as a Pharisee. Christ himself revealed the good news of Jesus to Saul. We know this because it's in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, Paul says, speaking about this very same period of time, "But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me, but I immediately went into Arabia and then later returned to Damascus." In Acts 9, Luke doesn't mention anything about Saul preaching in Arabia, but instead focuses on his time in Damascus. And that's probably because it was in Damascus that Saul first came into conflict with the Jews. And Saul began to preach the good news of Jesus in the synagogue of Damascus. All who heard him preach were understandably astonished. This was the same Saul who had come to Damascus to arrest anyone who called on the name of Jesus. But now he was calling on the name of Jesus himself and preaching the good news. A contemporary equivalent of this would be something like Richard Dawkins suddenly renouncing his atheism and turning to Christ, and then beginning to preach the good news of Jesus openly, publicly, wherever he could. That's the level of change that the Jews were seeing in Damascus of what Jesus had done in Saul's life. And that change was so radical, they could hardly believe what they were seeing and hearing. Verse 22 says that Saul grew more and more powerful. And what that's speaking about is Saul growing in confidence about how to share the good news of Jesus. And as Saul defended the hope he had in Jesus, he completely baffled the Jews living in Damascus. He would have answered all of their objections from the scriptures and given them no legitimate reason not to believe the good news, except for the hardness of their hearts. Because they were unable to find any weakness in his argument, the Jews in Damascus resorted to conspiring to try and kill Saul. But with some help from the believers, Saul escaped their hands of those who were trying to kill him. That brings us to verse 26, where it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him." By the time Saul had made this trip from Damascus to Jerusalem, he had now been a follower of Jesus for 3 years. We know this because Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 tells us that, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. When Saul speaks about this back in Galatians, he doesn't mention that Peter and the other apostles were not keen to see him. Understandably, the apostles were afraid of Saul when he turned up on their doorstep, proclaiming to be a believer. But Barnabas means son of encouragement, the man we read about back in chapter 4, interceded for Saul. He took him back to the apostles and shared what Jesus had done in Saul's life and how Saul had fiercely preached the good news of Jesus in Damascus. And on the confidence of Barnabas, and after hearing Saul's testimony, the apostles welcomed Saul, and he stayed with them while he was in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, well, Saul again began to share the good news of Jesus. He talked and he debated with the Grecian Jews. But like the Jews in Damascus, they also tried to kill him. And so when the apostles learned about this, they sent him off to his own hometown of Tarsus, no doubt to share the good news of Jesus there. Then we're told in verse 31 that the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. They grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. The church was experiencing a wonderful time of blessing, at least in part because of the radical change that Jesus had made in Saul's life. If anyone is in Christ, they have received a new beginning. Up until Jesus revealed himself to Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul was filled with rage and anger at those who professed the name of Christ. But as Jesus revealed to Saul that his good works could never be enough to take away the guilt of his sin, and then showed him mercy, Saul was given a new beginning. He was given the opportunity to start his life all over again. Not to try and do better or be better, but a new beginning, an opportunity to live for Christ rather than for himself. Anyone is in Christ, they've received a new identity. In the past, Saul's rage against those who profess the name of Christ was fueled by his own sense of self-righteousness. Saul was someone who had obeyed the outward requirements of the law far better than most. Among his fellow Jews, he had a lot more to be able to boast about. But after he had come into the presence of Jesus, everything that he had once boasted about all of a sudden seemed worthless. Saul now had a new identity. He was no longer Saul, the self-righteous Pharisee, but Saul, a humble servant of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they have received a new purpose. was a Pharisee. Saul had advanced beyond many of his own contemporaries. He was a very accomplished young man, and he was only continuing to advance among the ranks. If Jesus hadn't met him on the road to Damascus, Saul would have no doubt become a very powerful and influential leader among the Jews. But as Jesus met Saul on the road that day, Saul's life was given a new purpose. Those who live for this life, well, they spend their time and their energy and their money trying to gain wealth, comfort, and pleasure, things that won't last. But those who trust in Jesus have been given a new purpose, and that is to witness to the good news of Jesus, to witness to what Christ has done in their lives. In these verses, we see Saul being rejected by his fellow Jews. In fact, he wasn't just rejected, they actually wanted to kill him. Yet this new purpose in Saul's life enabled him to put aside all that he had worked for as a Pharisee in order to live for Christ. But then we see the apostles turning Saul away too, at which point Saul could have felt completely turned away, a complete outcast from everybody. The Jews wanted him dead. His own fellow believers were afraid of him. Now later, of course, the apostles did accept Saul with the help of Barnabas. But even if they hadn't, even if everyone had rejected Saul, because of his new purpose that he had received in Christ, he knew that he could live no other way. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When the good news of Jesus transforms hearts and minds, it isn't just a renovation where Jesus adds on a room or extends a veranda or something like that. It is a total rebuild from the ground up as the Holy Spirit transforms hearts and minds forever. If we have faith in Christ Jesus, then like Saul, we have been given a new beginning. Through faith in Christ, we have been given a clean slate. The guilt of our sins has been paid for by Jesus on the cross. If we have faith in Jesus, then like Saul, we have been given a new identity. We no longer need to prove our worth to others by our skills, experiences, and abilities, because our worth is found in Christ and his willingness to die for us. We have faith in Jesus, then like Saul, we have a new purpose. Now that we know that this life is not all there is, our purpose in this life is no longer about making ourselves more comfortable or more settled in a world that is only passing away. But instead, our purpose is to serve Christ. So the challenge for us this morning as we reflect on these verses are, firstly, are we using the fresh start that we've been given in Christ Jesus to live for him? Or have we become distracted by the things of this life? It doesn't take much for our priorities to drift. It doesn't take much for us to make ourselves too busy to spend time with him. It doesn't take much for us to forget just how much we've been forgiven. So these verses are encouraging us to reflect on how we are using the new beginning that we have received through Christ. Secondly, if we've received a new identity in Christ Jesus, is our new identity able to be seen by those around us? Saul was radically changed, so radically that the disciples didn't even believe it at first. But the life of anyone who comes to Christ will be radically changed. If our identity is in Christ and not in what we have done or can do, then the hope we have in him will shape everything about who we are and what we prioritize in this life. And those around us, those who know us, will see the difference. We won't make the same decisions as those who don't know the Lord. We won't have the same priorities. And as we put our identity in Christ on display, others will see that change in us. And lastly, if we've been given a new purpose in Christ, are we actively engaging with what Jesus has called us to do? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Last week we saw that Jesus had called Saul to be his chosen instrument, to carry his name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. This week, we've seen how Saul immediately, after his conversion, began to share the good news of Jesus, just as he was called to do. We're not all called to be apostles. We're not all called to be missionaries or pastors or elders or deacons. But if we have faith in Christ, we have been given a new purpose, and that is to do the good works that God has prepared for you to do. Verses we've been looking at this morning remind us that the good news of Jesus radically transforms lives forever. So as those with faith in Christ Jesus, may our actions, our decisions, and our priorities display the hope we have in Christ Jesus, so that those who know us might see the hope we have in him, and they might want it for themselves. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, your Son. We thank you for the incredible new beginning that you have given us. The joy of knowing that our sins are no longer held against us, but that your Son took the guilt of our sins on himself at the cross. Lord, we thank you that our identity no longer needs to be in ourselves and what we have been able to achieve. We thank you that our identity can now be in what you have done and what you achieved through your Son. And Lord, we thank you for the purpose that you've given each one of us to do, for those good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide us and enable us to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you for the hope we have in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.